Prepare to be captivated by the business story of the week, hosted by me, Shaheen Shan. Join us on a journey through the twists and turns of entrepreneurial triumphs and setbacks. Immerse yourself in the narrative and witness the magic that turns dreams into reality. This is Business Story of the Week.
Welcome back, folks. This is Joshua, your co-host for Business Story of the Week. Welcome back to the show. Today, we, like we always do, we unravel, you know, stories of perseverance, stories of success, and we bring to you the best innovators, the best experts in their field. And today, we have quite the innovator in our hands today, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Shriek Sherry Curry is a board-certified otolaryngologist. And for those who don't know, that is your common ears, nose, and throat doctor. All right. He is certified in Chicago. He was well aware of a startling statistic, right? First, over 40 million people in the USA have hearing loss, but only 24% have ever used or tried hearing aids. In 2009, he founded a company that helped over 300,000 people obtain high-quality, affordable hearing aids. He sold that business and has moved on to helping a larger group of people. The 76% that we mentioned earlier of people with hearing loss that do not have any solution to the struggle with hearing. Welcome with us today, Dr. Shriek Sherry Curry from Clearcast Hearing. Doc, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, Doc. I mean, we had a little bit of talk right before we started recording this, and I told you that it is quite a relevant episode to me because I personally have hearing loss myself. You know, at a pretty young age as well, I've been getting this, you know, comments and a lot like, you're kind of deaf. You need to get that checked. And, you know, it's gotten worse as I've gotten older. I've gotten more comments in that. And we are similar in that case, Doc, right? Because in my case, I went to a lot of heavy metal shows and I feel like that's where I lost my hearing. But yours, Doc, you also have a story of your own. And this is how I like to start the show. I like to start from the very beginning or from the journey of the... We can even start as early as when you were younger, Doc. So what were any pivotal moments in your childhood, any stories, any experiences? Have you always known you were going to be an ear-related doctor? You know, have you always known, or have you always known people who struggled with hearing? And how do you get to this field right now? And why hearing aids in particular?
Great question. So yes, I did not know from the beginning I wanted to be an ear doctor. So I went to undergraduate. I went to medical school, University of Michigan.
In Ann Arbor. Right.
Went to my training, ear, nose, and throat doctor. So we're talking about 13 years of school or training after high school. Uh-huh. I start my first job in 2003, and it is completely eye-opening to me that hearing loss, which is very prevalent, and we're the doctors that people come to, we test uh-huh. their hearing. And when we recommend a hearing aid for somebody that's struggling, at that time, most insurances, Medicare, did not cover it at all. So this is a medical condition with real uh-huh. consequences. It's a significant disability for a lot of people. Uh-huh. And insurance companies decided they're not going to cover it.
Wow.
You know, my personal experience with hearing loss is much like you. I'm an aficionado of music. I used to DJ. Yes. And I'd have the monitor or the headphone in my left ear,
of
but
course,
I could hear
the
current beat in the right ear. And so this one had to be louder than the atmosphere.
Yes, of course.
For the ambiance. Uh-huh. And so my left ear doesn't hear very well. So you and I share a passion for music and a subsequent unfortunate consequence of a little bit of hearing loss.
Yes, a consequence of our passion, a consequence of our younger days and wanting to just, you know, vibe and jibe with the music. But yours, Doc, is pretty extreme in the sense that, you know, it's so imbalanced because I understand how DJs need to hear on one side and hear differently on the other side. But how early along was this into your career and when you started losing that? And how early on did you realize that, Oh wow, it's pretty expensive. And why was it so expensive anyway?
Right. So when I started, I took my first job just here outside of Chicago in 2003. And I became the director of audiology and the hearing rehabilitation program at our
Oh wow.
job.
Okay.
And so I was in charge of and overseeing the audiologists. We had a team approach. We'd make sure we got everyone tested and those appropriate that needed a hearing aid, we'd get them into hearing aids. So on the one hand, I had access to the equipment, so I started testing myself and I saw that I had a little hearing loss.
Oh
Now,
wow.
thankfully, mine was very mild. I didn't need a hearing aid, and I still don't feel like I need a hearing aid because I hear very well out of my right ear and
Right.
reasonably well out of my left ear that I'm not missing things
You just have to
yet.
turn the other way.
But I don't even have to do that. It's like
I'm
it's
just kidding.
pretty fine. So,
Wow, okay. All right.
that's one of the ways people do accommodate.
Okay.
But I remember vividly 2006, my patients, I sent one of them for a hearing test. I said, "Hey man, he's in the workplace. He worked in a steel mill." I said, "You got pretty significant hearing loss. It's probably related to the loud noise exposure. Unfortunately, it's irreversible, but the good news is if I prescribe you a hearing aid, we can make you hear almost normal, kind of like glasses help you see 20/20."
Yes.
And so we set him up with a free appointment with our hearing department, and he came back like the next day. He's like, "Doc, I can't afford it." I said, "What do you mean?" He's like, "It's
Oh
over
no.
$1,000. It's actually $2,000 for a pair, and I don't have any insurance coverage." And that was the start of the research into, wait a second, this is a medical disability,
Yes.
and it's not covered by medical insurance. And sure enough, start looking into it. The biggest population of people with hearing loss that's significant is the senior population. Most
Of
of them
course.
are on Medicare, and Medicare does not cover
It's not
hearing
covered.
aids, traditional Medicare.
Oh,
Even today, 20 years later, traditional
They still
Medicare has
don't
zero
cover it.
coverage for hearing aids. Some of the Medicare Advantage plans have a benefit, but it's not Medicare traditional for sure.
Well, why is that, Doc? Talk to us a bit about that. Well, why is it not covered? Why is it still not covered when it seems to be a very, debilitating medical condition?
In the 1950s, approximately, I forget the exact year, when Medicare was formed, it was designed with the concept, hey, people are turning 65, and then back then the life expectancy was like 73 or something.
Of
We're going to cover
course.
life essential conditions like heart attack, stroke, diabetes. And the three exclusions were hearing aids, glasses, and dental. And also back in the 50s or 60s, hearing aids were this big. They were like a box,
Right.
like an AM radio or
You had to
something.
have it
We
next
didn't have
year.
the technology. So they said those are not, quote, essential for life, quote, like heart attack or cholesterol or surgeries or things like that. So they were excluded. But then as technology got better, the hearing aids got smaller, more sophisticated, also more expensive. That part of Medicare never changed, and to this day, hearing
Wow.
aids, glasses, and dental work are outside of the scope of Medicare and most insurances.
They talk.
But
Go ahead.
back to that one patient,
Please
I
stop.
apologize, I just want to finish the one
Go
story.
ahead, Dad. Go ahead,
He's
Doc.
like, "Doc, Doc, I can't afford this $2,000. What should I do?" And I said, "You know what? I don't actually know the answer to that. Let me get back to you." And it took me some time to, and the aha moment, the realization was, in my practice, ear, nose, and throat, head and neck surgery, there were only like two types of patients. I said, "I'm so sorry, I don't have an option or a treatment for you." One was terminal cancer after they tried treatment and it came back.
Oh no.
And one was hearing loss if they could not afford hearing aids.
Oh no.
And that just struck me as so absurd. So that was the impetus for me to solve for why hearing aids are so expensive and what is a lower cost option. And that's what I did with my first business, is we identified that in countries like India and China and the Far East, the same manufacturers in America were making hearing aids for those markets at $100 price point, not $2,000 price point. And so it got me thinking that the technology doesn't cost much. It's a marketing decision that they're
It
keeping the
is.
prices artificially high in America. And spent a fair amount of time research to understand the market and fast forward, 2009, I was able to manufacture and sell via e-commerce direct-to-consumer FDA-registered hearing aids at a very, very affordable price point, like 90% less than the cost of traditional hearing aids. And what started as really like a side hustle for my patients slowly became a go-to brand, and we got a lot of press coverage, and we had a lot of favorable placements and some luck, obviously. But we ended up catching the eye of a bigger company out of Europe, and they we sold that business in 2017. But we had sold over 300,000 hearing aids, or helped 300,000 customers with their hearing problems. So actually, more than 300,000 hearing aids. But it was very, very rewarding to help these people that I personally hadn't met in person, and you should see some of the letters we got from these very thankful people.
Wow, Doc, you are a hero, it sounds like. It must have been, you know, the fact that it was rewarding for you as well, and, you know, equally just as more, if not more, you know, rewarding and life-changing for the people you have helped. Because, again, you mentioned that this was a marketing decision, a manufacturing decision where the markups kept coming and coming and coming. That's what made it so significantly more expensive. But talk to us a little bit about the challenges, because now you've created an FDA-approved high-quality hearing aids and at significantly lower prices, which is now, I imagine, must be disrupting the market, right? Could you elaborate on key factors, though, that was challenging for you when it came to manufacturing these old things? Because, you know, you said that they are developed, you know, they are manufactured in the U.S. at a considerable price, but then you jumped into yourself to manufacture them yourselves. How do you make that leap? How do you make such a big leap into manufacturing your own hearing aids and enabled you to develop such cost effectiveness into it? What were some advancements that maybe were there that weren't there before, and any strategic business decisions that you came up with that allowed you such success?
So it turns out there's five or six big manufacturers that were international manufacturers of hearing aids. And slowly in the 90s and early 2000s, they were moving those operations overseas for cost savings purposes.
Right.
And a number of those manufacturers did go to India or China. Where the manufacturing capability is really robust and the cost structure is favorable. And so what we were able to do, it was we found one of the best contract manufacturers in China that we could then provide them with our bill of materials, our specifications. We would send the components to them. They would manufacture it for us.
Wow.
And then ship it to us for final assembly and final manufacturing.
Right.
So it was a contract manufacturer, pretty much like how Apple makes their iPhone.
Pretty much, yes.
They're not actually hiring all the people that are on the assembly line, but they partner with somebody who has that skill set.
So now you kind of disrupted all of this, and you've come together with this strategic, economical solution. You brought it to the people. You brought it to the customers. Doc, was there anything that you say would be, I don't know, anything that you would change back then? Would you wish you would have, you know, you wish you would have done sooner, invented sooner? I'd like to introduce, of course, our audience and listeners to that device around your neck right now. We're talking about expensive hearing aids, but I know you are quite the innovator yourself, and we have what you call the first personal assistive hearing pal device. But you getting into this innovative space, Doc, what were the challenges that led you, that you first encountered, and how did you overcome them?
So two things happened. One is we mentioned the statistic at the beginning of this podcast that you know, 40 million people had hearing loss and only 24% were using hearing aids at the time.
Yes.
I was able successfully lower the price and increase the access because these small rural towns, they may not have audiologists for 50 miles, but we could ship directly to their home.
Wow.
And if you you even fast forward, we sold the business in 2017. In 2022, there was an over-the-counter hearing aid law passed. So now hearing aids can be sold at drugstores and big box stores. Whoa. Like a Best Buy or like a electronics. But here's the kicker.
Okay.
1 year and some change after that law was passed, after we disrupted the market, after a number of copycat companies came in to do what we were doing.
Oh, no.
It's still the same statistic. Very few people, 24%. That number didn't change, even though hearing aids got cheaper and more accessible. And then if you couple that with the fact that, you know, we had 20% return rate or something like that back in the day. Mm-hmm. So not every hearing aid is going to work for every person because their needs might be unique or the hearing aid might be hard for them to manipulate or change a battery, for example.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
So I always had a sunk feeling. I'm like, oh, this is a person that reached out to us that needed affordable hearing assistance, but we were not able to help them with our products at that time.
Okay.
Now, fast forward to 2023, 2024, we realized that even though hearing aids are available in drugstores and the internet, and they're cheaper and more accessible than ever, 76% of the 40 million people with hearing loss are not wearing hearing aids. So it got me thinking to something which is by no means profound, but it got me thinking that hearing aid is not the right choice for every person with hearing loss.
Right. Okay.
And right now it's the only choice. Imagine this analogy. Let's say you or a family member has a problem with their mobility. They get, you know, they get in a car accident or something, they can't walk. And the only option is a wheelchair. There's no crutches, there's no cane, there's no walker.
Okay.
There's no therapy, there's no rehab. Everyone that's limping gets a wheelchair. That doesn't
just
sound
a wheelchair,
smart,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Just wheelchair. They can't go up and down the stairs. They're hard to fit in the car. And most people don't need a wheelchair.
Yeah, that's
true. What we're doing in hearing loss, and I'm going to put the onus on the doctors and the audiologists too, is we are telling everyone with hearing loss, whether it's you, Joshua, me, or a 90-year-old father or whatever, everyone gets the same tiny little device that you put in your ear, and it's really tiny. You might have to pair it with your smartphone. It's really hard to make changes, and they don't sound that good in certain scenarios. Everyone gets a wheelchair. And it got me thinking. I also have an uncle. He's 93 years old. He's a civil engineer, one of the smartest guys that came out of India. Mm-hmm. And for 15 years, he's had probably $30,000 in hearing aids, and he hasn't really been part of a conversation in a long time because they don't really help him hear what he needs to hear.
Oh, wow.
And so put all of that together. And it got me realizing that hearing loss consumers need more choice. There needs to be more innovation.
Wow.
And we can't pigeonhole everyone into hearing aids. So that is why I developed this. This is called the ClearCast.
The ClearCast.
App, the world's first personal assistive listening device. And it turns out one of the major problems with hearing aids, besides that they're small and they're tiny and they're like you have to change batteries maybe and they're hard to manipulate, is they're expected to wear them all day, and the microphone sits here, but the person you're talking to might be 6 or 12 feet away, or the TV might be 10 or 20 feet away, and there's something called speech-to-noise ratio. It is the ratio of the signal you want to hear compared to the other sounds in the background you don't want.
Right.
That is where hearing aids, all of them, whether they're $200 or $2,000, struggle. Is when there's a lot of background noise, it gets all of the noise all around you.
Exactly, of course, of course.
And what the ClearCast does, very simple concept, it has a wireless microphone, I call it the magic mic.
Okay.
You can clip it on someone's shirt if you want to hear them, and they can go anywhere in the house, you'll hear them. You can sit it right next to the TV, and it routes the sound you want to hear right into your ears. This sits super comfortably on your neck. You put it in when you want to hear it. You take it out when you don't want to hear it because you don't need something all the time, every day,
all the time,
for every patient.
Amplifying everything.
Some people, like my dad, the house is quiet until someone comes over and talks to him.
Right, exactly.
Or the TV's on. That's when he needs hearing assistance, not when he's walking around to hear his steps too loud or the refrigerator or the fan.
Wow.
He has no problem on the phone, things like that. So what we have done is we have created choice for the market. Right. There's just we strongly believe, especially seniors that have limited dexterity or aren't really leaving the house a ton, hearing aid is not necessarily the right choice for them.
Not naturally. Doc, you are a natural innovator. You really thought about that in such a way that I don't think I've ever actually quite heard of the concept, but maybe some people had probably thought about the concept. But of course, hearing aids amplify everything, right? It doesn't, you don't get to filter, you don't get to choose which noise or which sound that you want to amplify, but you don't need all that noises, especially that hearing losses come in different shapes and forms. But now you've created this PAL device. It's essentially getting to pick which noise or which sound that you want to isolate and give it to your consumers, your customers, your patients. And that is, I would say, is a true mark of an innovator, because Doc, you've given, again, options, and options that didn't used to appear, that didn't used to exist in the hearing aid or the hearing loss industry. Doc, as someone who's navigated the complexities of both, right? Medical practices and being an entrepreneur, being an innovator yourself, what advice would you then give now? Because earlier you called an onus to the doctors out there, to all the practitioners out there, make hearing aid more, not just accessible, but also give them options. What other onus are you putting out there? Are you trying to invite more innovation into this space? And what positive impacts can other entrepreneurs or medical practitioners can have inside the industry now, and we can change it for the better?
Yeah, if we're talking about medical practitioners, right, we learn what we learn in medical school in our training, It's going to take some time to get doctors and other professionals thinking that, hey, this is not the only option. And so we're pretty early in this journey.
Okay.
I have a number of doctors and audiologists that have use this product, and they offer it to their patients, and they absolutely love it.
Okay.
Because there's not really any option like this on the market. So it is a matter of educating not just the patient or the consumer or but a podcast like yours, hopefully, has a nice reach, and we can educate. If there's one doctor or audiologist listening, It might get them thinking, not everyone needs the wheelchair or the hearing aid. There is different choices for them.
Yes.
And so hopefully that's what's the messaging we're trying to get out there is now there's a different option, and can we help people with their quality of life in a different way? I mean, there's a lot of medical studies. You may be familiar with some of these, but they're coming out in droves on how untreated hearing loss in the elderly population has a higher risk of dementia and loss of independence and things like that. And so those all make sense. If you stimulate the brain less, it may certainly be, it can get less sharp, almost like a use it or lose it phenomenon. But then their answer is always encourage someone to use a hearing aid. That's the answer for all of those studies. And I'm saying there's another option too. Hearing aid might be the best choice, or a PAL device like Clearcast might be the best choice. Let's figure it out now. Now, the other thing I noticed in the old business and even currently, all of my friends that text me, I'm the person they text when they say, hey, my mom or dad is struggling hearing. What should we do?
Oh, wow.
And
of course,
obviously there's a standard recommendation to see a doctor, make sure your ears are clean, get a hearing test, and then try to get a hearing aid. But a lot of people, I'm 51. There's a lot of people my age that are like, hey, my mom or dad are struggling, but they live far away. I can't take them to a doctor, or they're not really that mobile, or whatever. They're not savvy enough to figure out what kind of hearing aid they need.
Yes.
The beauty of the PAL product, the Clearcast, is this is the type of product super easy to use.
Yes.
You literally just slip it on off switch, volume button, and that's it.
Yes.
And so if you have a family member that's struggling, or you're going for Mother's Day or a holiday or something, easiest thing to do. It's about the price of a fancy headphone. It's 90% less than hearing aids in cost. And they can use it instantly, and it works for all levels of hearing loss. It's a pretty remarkable option.
Wow.
And it really will enhance their communication and family gatherings and things like that.
Wow. So it's a perfect gift for Christmas, perfect gift for Thanksgiving. Buy it for your family, right?
Even just if you're trying to help your elderly family, and not your gift is fine too, but really, if you're just trying to help, like, what can you do from far away if you don't
for
live
sure.
with them?
For
you know,
sure.
The ideal scenario, let's say, like my dad has hearing loss. He's in Detroit. I'm in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He went and got a hearing test, but the real answer is he should go to an audiologist, get a hearing aid fitted mm-hmm. to his mm-hmm. exact hearing loss. But he needs to go back 2-3 times and communicate with them. Here's what I like. Here's what I don't like, so they can make adjustments.
Yes.
But that's a little challenging for a 90-year-old man to do is, A, go back and forth to the doctor 4 or 5 times. B, communicate what they like or don't like, because this is a pretty tech-savvy product, a hearing aid.
Of course.
That they have to try to communicate in a different language to the audiologist to make changes.
Of course.
That really, the technology has gotten way too advanced for the user.
Yes, yes, it has. It has. And hopefully we're getting there. Hopefully we're getting there to a point where it's easier for most, you know, users. It's more accessible, you know, especially with the PAL device that you create a doc. And hopefully we start seeing more innovation in this space, you know. Also more regulations, like you said. Hopefully we start really taking into consideration the essential of hearing assisted devices, you know, when it comes to the elderly, you know, like you said, it's far behind. The regulation hasn't changed in the last 20 years. So innovation on both ends, regulation, more devices and more options coming into our customers and our consumers. And this is how I always like to wrap up things when I talk about this, Doc. What are the future aspirations of Dr. Sri Shirkuri? What is the future that you are seeing when it comes to the hearing loss industry or the hearing loss patients? And how would you like to be able to impact this future going forward?
Well, the obvious answer in the short term is we'd like to educate the consumer about this option. If they're having trouble hearing, it's not just a hearing aid. There is other options out there. You know, and even if you have hearing aids, one of my favorite customers, he has hearing aids that are very nice. He uses them for work. But the minute he gets home, he takes them off and puts on his Clearcast PAL because that's better for the TV. It's better in his home setting. And then his wife can walk around with the microphone if needed.
Wow,
and so he loves our device.
Wow.
So, you know, I think that would be, you know, a short-term goal is, you know, more of these in people's homes. They're very affordable. It really help maximize the quality of life. But I do want, you know, and we're continuing to innovate. We're trying to make them better and better every model, just like Apple does with their phones and things like that.
Yes.
But yeah, I think we just continue to stress the importance of hearing health as part of healthy aging.
Yes.
We mentioned
definitely.
The dementia angle. Untreated hearing loss has a higher risk of falling and balance problems.
Yes, of course.
And these are all, you know, things that we want. We all want to age as healthy as we can into our 70s, 80s,
90s. As gracefully as we want to. Doc, so innovation, you know, awareness in all of these areas, hearing health, and, you know, just helping improve the overall lives of those people that we love, of those around us, of those that need the most help. Doc, that is why I say you are quite the hero in your field and those who you helped in your life. Doc, I'd love to give you this opportunity. Where can we find you? Where can we connect with you? Where are you most active at? And where can we find this PAL device of yours?
Thanks again for having me. The Clearcast PAL is at clearcasthearing.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn all about it. You can read testimonials. You can even contact us. And I'm one of the people that respond. It's me or my audiologist if you have any questions. So you almost get like a telemedicine or a telehealth type communication option.
Awesome.
We are all about,
awesome.
But even though the product is simple, we're always there 24/7 for product support.
Of course.
And so that would be the way to get us, clearcasthearing.com.
Fantastic. And it's not just, again, it's not just about providing that device, that innovation. It's first and foremost providing the care. Am I right, Doc?
You're exactly right. And yeah, on that note, like a hearing aid is a product, but the actual solution is product plus service. People need to be educated on how to use it and how, you know, which modes are going to give them the best result and things like that.
Fantastic. Doc, you've been great, and I hope the audience and the listeners as well feel the same, feel more aware, feel more educated, and feel more optimistic for the huge future of hearing health. Doc, thank you so much for being on the show, and anything else you'd like to say to our audience and listeners out there?
Thank you for having me. It was a wonderful opportunity to share.
Fantastic. To our audience and listeners out there, see you on the next one.
All right, so here's the thing. We try to get a little bit better every day, but we can't do it without you. So if you like the video, make sure to like and subscribe below. And if you have any comments, just leave them in the space under.